podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, good evening, good day, welcome wherever you're around the world. It's the Spurs Show, our second show of the week. Well, this Sunday we face Norwich City, knowing that one point against a relegated side will be enough for us to qualify for the Champions League yet again. Joining me to look forward to this game, returning ex-Cocteau Twin and label head of the wonderful record label, Bella Union, Simon Raymond. How are you, Simon?
I am very well, sir. Very, very well indeed.
Thank you for coming back on the show and also returning a TV exec and the marathon man, the man who's run more marathons than Eddie Izzard. He's back. Dan Lowe returns. How are you, Dan?
He's gone.
He's something I did defended him, and he's back.
No, sorry. My work email.
Just how many marathons have you done this year before we crack on?
I have done two. I have done 35 in total, and I am doing one on Sunday, which is why I'm not going to Norwich.
Really? But this was booked a while back.
Yeah, I didn't think there was going to be anything for.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't think the season was still going to be going at this point.
I know.
I thought we were looking at Europa Conference League at best.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Yeah, I can't pull out now, but I'm doing two in 6 days from Sunday. So I'm doing the Windermere Marathon on Sunday, and then I'm doing the Luxembourg Night Marathon following Saturday, the day of the Champions League final.
Do you do this for charity, or you just just doing it for my own?
Nobody cares anymore. Like, you can't keep people who ask for sort of sponsorship when you've been running for years are idiots. Like, they're just, it's annoying to keep asking people for sponsorship. So no, I can't raise any more money. Spurs Show listeners were very generous a few years ago when I did my first marathon. So no, I don't. No one's impressed anymore. Everyone's got a bit of a sort of put it away vibe now.
Why do you keep doing it? Is it to keep beating a personal best? What's the method behind it?
I'm running away from myself, I guess. No, I don't know. I just like it. I like running.
Right.
I'm 43 now, and I've kind of got good at it now. I just qualified for the Boston Marathon a couple of weeks ago, so I went from the Brentford away game to Southampton. And did the Southampton Marathon and qualified for Boston. So I think it would be silly to give up now. My knees don't appear to be to be wearing out. But yeah, I did a 10K recently where I was in the starting pen with Mo Farah.
Wow.
I mean, obviously I didn't finish anywhere near him, but I was behind that gooner.
But the starting line, you were level.
Yeah, at least I was in the same. I had the same kind of qualifying time to get in the same starting pen as him. But yeah, he beat me by 8 minutes.
Amazing. And so Sunday, interesting, because I know you are a real home and away boy, and I don't know if they're still on YouTube, the wonderful Away Days mini YouTube shows that were almost like the Martin Peters of football travelogues. They were 10 years ahead of their time, those Away Days. Are they still available for people to watch?
Yeah, I think they are. A couple of them got taken down for copyright reasons. I could never quite figure out, because I was never a YouTube partner and I never enabled all that kind of stuff. So there's a few. We did quite a few of them, I can't remember, but most of them are still on there. I never check the channel anymore. But feel free to, if you haven't seen them, go ahead and watch them. They were me and my mate Tim traveling around Europe and around the north of England having adventures.
And honestly, many people have copied your style that you did all those years ago.
Let them have it.
But they have. So on Sunday, are you going to be running one of those sort of kids' old transistor radios that you used to smuggle into school to listen to the FA Cup third round draw with the little sort of, just the one little headphone that always gets a bit of earwax in it? Are you kind of going to be doing that as you run along?
Hopefully I will have finished the marathon long before 4 o'clock. So it shouldn't take me more than sort of 3.5 hours approximately. But so I should be on the train back by 4 o'clock. So yeah, I'll be trying to watch it on the train Wi-Fi, which is bit of a sort of fool's errand. But yeah, I'll give it a go. I'm very confident. I'm very confident that nothing is going to go wrong. So,
well, annoyingly, I'm in the air. I booked a 24 hours to go to Portugal, and I booked it all now. One of those things you can't change the flight, and I'm literally flying at 4:20. I'm hoping some airlines have the Wi-Fi now, and I've just got this. Being a typical Tottenham fan, I've just got this fear of getting to Luton Airport and getting the phone and then just seeing this result, and you're like, what has happened? What has happened? Simon, what will happen on Sunday? Are you supremely confident, or are you like a true Tottenham fan and you think... Because you know what I relate it to? I remember in 77, the year we went up, we played our last home game of the season, midweek game against relegated Hull City. And we couldn't put the ball in the net. In the end, I think John Duncan literally nudged the goalie from a corner. The ball fell down and Perriman put it in. We place went crazy. So I know there's previous games you think you're going to roll over. We're going to win these easily. The team's already gone. You know, they've got nothing to lose, Norwich. You know, they've still got good players there. It's their last game. I think people think this is going to be an easy win, are slightly deluded.
I think if... It's a tough one because history tells us not to get carried away, doesn't it? But I think when Dean Smith took over Norwich, we broke. He was playing. They were playing pretty well when he took over.
Yeah, they had like three unbeaten, weren't they?
Yeah, and then they played us, and Lucas Moura scored an absolutely amazing goal. Sonny scored, and Sanchez scored, of all people. So, and we beat them 3-0 fairly comfortably.
Mm.
I don't think it'll be an easy game, but Norwich do like to get forward. You know, they do have some players in the middle, and they will try and play through Pookie. And I think it'll be a relatively open play from them. Don't see them just sitting 11 men behind the ball.
There's no point. They've got nothing to defend.
Yeah,
it would be really sad if they go, right, break us down and all that, whatever. What's the point? It's their last game of the season. They're relegated.
Well, I can see Burnley doing that. I can see other teams doing it. But I don't think Norwich will do it. Not because they want to get beat 3-0, but just because that's the kind of football they play. So I'm relatively confident, even though history tells me not to be. But, And obviously since Moura's Son Kane and Moura were so good in periods in that first half of the season, obviously Lucas has gone sort of out of the frame slightly, and as Kulusevski's come in and done so beautifully, I think maybe on Sunday it would be a good idea to start Lucas, because he played really, really well for the 60 minutes he was on. He was dangerous. He took players on. He got to the byline. He crossed it. I mean, yeah, he's always going to lose the ball, and he's going to do a couple of silly fouls and whatnot. But I think on the whole, Lucas played actually very well last week. And I would be quite happy if he started the game if Kulusevski wasn't quite ready.
I think Kulusevski, you hope, will recover. I think he will start. Dan, obviously, there's the Norwich and that whole East Anglia area. There's a huge amount of Tottenham support. There's always, whenever I go down there that way on holiday, there's always so many Tottenham fans. I already know, as you said, tickets were available. There's now a huge scramble for fans to be there. I know that Norwich do a corporate ticket for £200 with dinner. Those have sold out as soon as the Arsenal lost to Newcastle. There was even more expensive £1,000. I think for £1,000, you probably get on the subs bench for Norwich. You can get the last 10 minutes. They've all gone. Tottenham fans, black market's gone crazy. Do you have any concerns, or do you think under Conte, this is a different Tottenham team? They know how big this is. This isn't the same as Pochettino, Newcastle 5-1, where, you know, we got pipped to second place.
Well, I think that game is the sort of archetypal last season fuck up, really. And I think like that game was worse than the Lasagna game, definitely.
Yeah.
That was like the most humiliating. I genuinely don't think I could do this anymore. You know, we tried to 4-1. Me and Tim tried to leave Newcastle, and we didn't even manage to get anywhere near down to the exit. We were trying to get down the stairs, and we tried to get down and we didn't even manage to get down to the exit by the time the fifth goal went in. It was like we couldn't leave. Like, we were tied It was like we were being tortured. And I think that was the sort of like, you know, it wasn't just weak mentality. It was fate that was destroying us that time. And I just think it's not going to happen again. Although that the following year, 2016-17, you know, that's the best Tottenham team that there's been in my lifetime. I think the team that did finish second to Chelsea's the last season at White Hart Lane, and that finished second to Conte's Chelsea. I can't see, you know, nothing I know about football suggests that we're going to get, you know, less than at least a draw on Sunday. Norwich are not good enough. We are very good, and we should have a bit of, you know, have a bit of faith, have a bit of belief in a team that has done quite a lot to earn our belief this season.
Mm. And we've also got the incredible chance Heung-min's son could get the golden boot. And this is, I mean, I know Salah has had some injury problems. He's only ahead on because the penalties he takes. That, again, if Tottenham got top four and Heung-min's son wins the golden boot, would be beautiful, wouldn't it, Simon? Because he is seems to be a lovely, lovely man and has turned into one of, rightly so, one of the fans' favourite players of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was very unlucky not to get a couple of goals on Thursday night. The two saves from Pope were exceptional. I mean, the second one, okay, it was more at him. He just had
the
to
first
kind of
one, yeah.
palm it away. Yeah. But yeah, that first save, I mean, you know, we were up in the air. We were like, that's a goal. That's in the net. Because he was actually going the other way. And he managed to change the shape of his body. It was an absolutely stunning save. So he could be ahead of Salah right now if those two had gone in. So I feel a bit sorry for him. And he definitely looked a little miffed for a minute there when he got taken off. But I think he'll score. I think he likes playing against Dean Smith's team. He scored an absolutely beautiful goal against Villa when we beat them 2-1 last year, a couple of years ago. So, yeah, I feel good about it as much as I can possibly feel good about it, given what we know. But, yeah, Dan's absolutely right. We have a team and a squad of players and a manager for the first time in a long while that we can really, really, really believe in. They don't look like they've got big mistakes in them. I mean, yes, individual players do silly things from time to time, but it's not really costing us. And that's what's so lovely is that, you know, yeah, Sanchez comes in for Romero. Everyone sees the team news and goes, oh, blimey. But he actually steps up to the plate. Nervous few minutes at the start of that game, for sure. He was. He made a couple of misplaced passes and everyone was on his case. But he recovered and played well. And he actually passed the ball beautifully during the Burnley game into midfield in areas that he was never... Normally, you just like lump it forward or just bomb it down the line. But he was actually playing lovely balls in through the middle of the park into Bentancur and Højbjerg. And that gives me a lot of faith that Conte is teaching these players really, really good habits.
Yeah. Well, let's go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get your predictions for the last game of the season. Back in 1 minute. And we're back for the break. Don't forget, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Leave us a nice review on iTunes. Spurs Show merchandise. We've got some beautiful T-shirts, sweatshirts, phone covers. We've got a brand new, we bought it back, Bob Marley, and a sort of a 1981 Spurs shirt, Panini sticker, a brand new Heung-min's son design, Antonio Conte as well. Go to the links on the description to this podcast and get that. Next week is our final show, normal Spurs show of the season with Paul Hawksby, Jeff Pope and David Harris. But never fear, after that we'll be bringing back the mini-series Top 10 Tottenham. Simon and Dan will be some of the guests. We've got some other great guests giving us their greatest Top 10 Tottenham moments with lots of interesting audio, so lots to listen to before we then return for another season in August. Dan, we were sort of surmising there before the break how Norwich will play. They're already relegated. It's no point them going, oh, we need a point today, lads. They're in front of their fans. They like to play football. Do you think the way they play being quite open means the gaps are going to be there for us to pick them up on the break. Do you see that's the way the game's going to go?
Well, Newcastle were already relegated when we lost 5-1 to them in 2016, unfortunately. But no, I thought it really depends on, you know, what happens to kind of unlock the door against Norwich. You know, they collapsed in the first half when Moura scored that goal, which actually I think was probably... Yeah. I think Moura's goal against Norwich is goal of the season. I don't know why it ended up being Bergwijn's. I don't know why I feel injustice about that, but I think that's the most pressing issue in the world right now. But yeah, I think we'll either win 3-0 and pick them off easily, or we'll lose 1-0 and Arsenal will lose as well.
Oh, the scenario.
Arsenal won't beat Everton. I mean, Everton need a result, and I can see them. I can see Arsenal's misery being compounded and them losing at home in the final day of the season.
Well, Arsenal, obviously, Everton, we were recording this before they played Crystal Palace, but you hope that Everton will still need something on that game. And the way Arsenal are at the moment, absolutely on the floor, the scenario of them actually just losing to Everton or drawing, I think is possible. But my heart could not take us. Blown whistle, we've lost. There's now 5 minutes of injury time still at Arsenal. I literally think I will have a cardiac arrest. I can't even compute that feeling. That's horrendous, Stan. Horrendous imagery you've given us. Simon, surely that can't happen.
It can happen. It's football. It can happen. But let's have some faith. I think we're going to win the game, not comfortably. It couldn't possibly be comfortable. It's Tottenham. But I think we'll win it 2-0.
I was thinking 2-0, but I think we'll concede. And it wouldn't surprise me if we actually concede first. But I think we will go on to win 3-1. And that will be Champions League qualification. Dan, I know you gave us two scenarios there. Which one are you going to go with? Why you're, I know you would have finished your run by then.
Yeah, 3-0 Spurs. I think we, you know, as I was sort of saying in the last show, we have to start acting like a club that's going to win.
Yeah.
And we have to stop this kind of like victim sort of mentality. Poor us. Mm. It's always Spurs. We always screw it up. You know, that ends now. We've got a team of sort of winners. We've got a team of mediocre players who look like world beaters. And some of the best players that has ever played at the club, you know, Kane and Son. I think Son now has to be recognised as one of the best players we've ever had in the sort of, you know, 600-year history of the club. I think we've got to have a bit of faith, and Norwich are crap as well. So there's that too.
Dan, if we do qualify on Sunday night, how big an achievement is that when you look at where we were? When Conte came in, we just lost 3-0 to a wretched Manchester United team at home. It was awful. Fans booing. He came in. He's had some bad results as well. Famously, we talked in the last show, the Burnley game, when he lost it, he was like, maybe, you know, I shouldn't be here. Wears his heart on his sleeve. The turnaround, and you know, there's something very infectious about him, very likeable. Yes, I think he's got a bit of a screw loose, but I think a lot of geniuses have. How big an achievement do you think it will be if we get top four this season?
Well, very big. But I think also you look at, like, you know, when Nuno left, like, it was 5-5 in the league. You know, we'd won 5, we'd lost 5. So actually the situation Conte inherited wasn't incredibly terrible. But this isn't like when we qualified for the Champions League in 2019, where we limped to the finish line and no one else wanted to get in. You remember the year that we made the Champions League final? Mm. We made the Champions League that year, right? Despite continually losing from December onwards. And it's because no one else wanted to get in. We'll make the Champions League this time if we do, because we wanted to win the most and we were the best team. You know, it's kind of as simple as that. And there were, it looked a few weeks ago like we needed 5 or 6 players to potentially be competitive next season. And actually he's turning some of those players into something. Sessegnon's the best example of that. And, you know, you can see what he's doing. I felt from about the second or third game, I knew exactly what Conte ball actually involved. And it's subtle, it's clever, it works all over the park. But what he's getting, what he's asking them to do, they are now doing. And I think tactically, he's the best coach I've seen at Spurs. He's miles ahead of Mourinho, although probably not as good man management as Pochettino and Redknapp were.
Mm. Fair enough. That's a good assessment. Simon, before we sign off, any new albums you'd like to plug? Any new bands you'd like to recommend the discerning Spurs show audience to?
Yeah, I could give you a couple. I think I recommend
it. Please do. I bought the last album you mentioned. I went out. Thank you. Thoroughly enjoyed it. The female band.
Penelope Isles, I think it was, yes.
Yes,
well, we've just had a couple of top five albums in the album chart in the last month. We had Father John Misty released his album in April, and that was followed a week later by the new Spiritualized album, which is called Everything Was Beautiful, and that went in at number five in the album chart. So we feel like we're on a bit of a roll at the moment. So,
fantastic. And I've also what's the label? The name, you'll know this, come to me. There's been a re-release, well, a new compilation of Dusty Springfield sings soul, and your father was the arranger on most of the tracks.
Yes, and he also wrote "I Only Want to Be with You."
Wow,
which is a great honour to be his son. So, yeah, he was a brilliant producer and a brilliant arranger. Worked with Dusty and the Walker Brothers and Bowie and all sorts of incredible people. So, I guess
what did he do with Bowie?
He did the string arrangement on Love You Till Tuesday.
Oh, do, 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 do.
Exactly.
Look outside your window.
It is Anthony.
Outside.
It is Anthony.
Little
Newley
me
moment.
Is waiting. Yeah. Wonderful. It's sort of the Newley era. I love the strings on that.
Exactly, on Images.
Beautiful. I might just stretch it till Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever the line was. Oh, wonderful.
Have you heard Adam Buxton? Do you know Adam? You know Adam Buxton? He does a fantastic David Bowie impression. Oh, my word. I'm actually going to see him tonight.
Oh, really? Yeah, is it his bug?
He's doing something at this place called the Beach House Stage in Brighton. I'm not 100% sure what it is he's doing, but I've been invited along, so I'm excited to see
lovely.
Him.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, there you are. So, Father John Misty, Spiritualized, or I don't know if the family still gets royalties, the new re-release of Dusty Springfield Sings Soul. I'm trying to think, it's not the...
Decca.
Charlie.
Is it Decca?
No, it's... Yeah. Who's the label that does all the old, like, Northern Soul and...
Charlie.
...stuff out? It might be Charlie. I can't remember. Ace Records.
It is Ace.
It's on Ace Records. And that's out as well. Dan, what should we be watching on your wonderful station, Channel 5? What's coming up?
Well, just watch everything. I think that's the main... that would be... Just have it on constantly. Just turn Channel 5 on and then, like, it's fine if you die and then just go just in another room. Like, as long as it's on, we get the ratings. That's I mean,
is there anything you've been working on that you're particularly proud of that's out in the next few weeks?
Well, I mean, at Channel 5, they work us pretty hard, so we've got lots and lots of stuff on all the time. I've got Susan Kalman's Antiques Adventure, which is going to be stripped across five nights in the next... that's starting on the 30th of May, we think. That's very entertaining, 7 o'clock every night. That's very good. I would watch that. If you... I made a programme about TK Maxx a couple of weeks ago that got a lot of press.
Oh.
Very entertaining. It revealed how TK Maxx really keep their prices low, which is my favourite subject. I think I became quite obsessed with it.
It was
like solving a murder. Then what else have we got coming up? Just general good stuff. And Summer on the Farm Live will be on in July with Helen Skelton and Jules Hudson and all those guys. That's a really fun show. If you haven't watched it, I definitely recommend. That's five nights of the week, live farmy frolics, a bit like Spring Watch meets The Word. Very entertaining.
Beautiful.
Done the last couple of years of it, and it's a joy to make and watch, I think.
Lovely. You know the one that's not on your channel that I hope come Sunday night we'll be rubbing our hands waiting to see is Amazon Prime's All or Nothing Arsenal.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget, they followed Arsenal all this season, and I can't wait to see. I mean, it'd be interesting because I know we at the Spurs show, we were in the Tottenham one. We got approached. I don't know if it's the same production company or different production company. They did quite a lot of filming with us. It was very interesting then what was used, what wasn't used. Pochettino was literally just episode one, leaving with his box. That was it type thing. So it'll be very interesting what they show. But let's hope we see some hilarious, hilarious dressing room footage of Arsenal's implosion this season. Well, everyone at home, fingers crossed, be there, support the team, whether you're there watching around the world. Let's get that positive energy. As Dan said, let's start thinking of us as a club that can go on and do things. Let's hope when we're here next week, we are talking about Champions League qualification for another season. Simon, thank you so much again for joining us. I look forward to speaking to you soon when we do our Top 10 Tottenham, and Dan as well. I'm looking forward to chatting to you in a couple of weeks' time as well, hopefully, with your Top 10 Tottenham. I imagine there's going to be some obscure ones in there.
No, I think
to.
I think I'm going to do Top 10 worst performances in enough. A Spurs shirt, I reckon. Single players in individual performances in the Spurs shirt. So contact me on Twitter if anybody's got anything they want me to consider.
Fair enough. Lovely. Thank you so much, Simon. Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you so much, everyone at home. Until next week, come on, you Spurs. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.